Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. September 3, 2019. My thoughts on Twitter, September 3, 2019. Israel aiming straight toward the creator, Yashar Kel. If we connect among ourselves, and are able to bestow to the creator out of this unity, we will bring light into the world that will unite us and raise us onto a spiritual degree of bestowal. We will feel ourselves in a different dimension, different relations, the future world. We see that the signs of evil are manifesting all over the world in a broad, deep, escalating manner. We must do our job and bring Israel and the nations of the world to unity. The main thing is to achieve unity within Israel. We must be first to realize unity. When the force of bestowal is generated in the group, and the Creator's force of bestowal will become harmonious, equal even in a small measure, in 1%, the Creator will immediately become revealed in it, as it is said, the Creator dwells among his people. If 2,000-year-old writings of the Kabbalists are coming true, other prophecies will come true also. A group will emerge so strong in its unity that it will be able to reveal the Creator according to the similarity of form with the upper force. The group will unite as one and reveal within itself the quality of the Creator, who is one. Make the right choice, the Creator. Bina is an abstract property of faith. But this faith is realized in Malkhut because faith can work practically only where there is a property of receiving. The desire to enjoy appears first at the level of Hotshma, but it has not yet been realized by the created being. And the desire to bestow appears in Bina but still without its practical realization. From the combination of both appears the fourth stage, Dalit, where there should be faith, and to the extent of faith, reception. The desire to receive in Malkhut is a consequence of the desire to bestow in Bina and the desire to receive in Hotshma, which Zir and Pin completely connects together. The 15th of Av, Tabav, is considered one of the best days for Israel. A good day is the day when you can bestow to the Creator the most. Tabav symbolizes receiving for the sake of bestowal, but for the benefit of the future, when Malkhut will already be corrected. In the meantime, although the ascent of the worlds takes place, it is due to the awakening from above, not to the work of the lower. The end of correction takes place on Purim. Tubav is a combination of the receptive desires of Malkhut in the presence of all the right conditions that have come out of the four stages, represented as four groups of girls looking for suitors, Hotshma, Bina, Zar, and Malkhut. The beauty is said, "Turn your eyes to beauty, for a woman is for beauty." The nobleman said, "Cast your eyes on family, for a woman is for sons." The wealthy said, "Cast your eyes on the wealthy." And the unsightly said, "Take us in the name of heaven and crown us with gold ornaments." In this way, all the stages passed by, Hotshma, Bina, Zar, until the turn of Malkhut came, and it turned out that Malkhut Shemayim, the kingdom of heaven, must be poor and meager, not wealthy, beautiful, and noble. Only through our work can we become loyal to it. This holiday represents our searches and disappointment in our own strength, our readiness to separate ourselves by any means from the desire to enjoy and our becoming devoted to bestowal, that is, to not demand anything for ourselves. I ask the Creator to provide me with protection against my desire to enjoy, my major enemy. I must hate my egoism to such an extent that I do not succumb to any temptation. Let my egoism die, it will not get anything. Let me disappear, it does not matter because I have to go through the point of complete restriction and be born on the other side of the barrier, which means the death of my desire to enjoy for my own sake. This will be life and light for me, life is only on the other side of this barrier, Muxim. To do this, one must reach the fourth stage, Malkhut, an ugly, poor, low-born bride called Faith. If I am able to remain faithful to her despite her being poor and meager, then I have gained faith. This is the condition for gaining Malkhut, consent to cleave only to her, despite other seductive images. Faith is accepted without any conditions, otherwise it will not be faith but a calculation or a deal. Faith cannot have any selfish basis. I want to get rid of the egoistic calculation. Otherwise, I will not enter the spiritual world. This is a condition for entry, to cleanse myself of egoistic desires and remain only in bestowal. The property of bestowal is the absence of any calculation of self-benefit. If I try to achieve faith, I go through all these stages, one after the other, getting acquainted with the bride's preceding Malkhut, beautiful, wealthy, and noble. But in the end, I reach the state when I want nothing but to get rid of all this nobility. I want only the Creator to exist and not me. This is how spiritual life begins. I am ready to give up on all my calculations and cling to the Creator without any reasoning. This is how I become a spiritual seed. I want the Creator's program to govern me, defining all my behavior, thoughts, and desires. Let a different engine work in me. An egoistic engine is currently spinning in me, looking for how to gain more, to succeed, and to enjoy itself. I want a new engine to constantly turn me toward the Creator and not to seek anything for itself so that a new program of bestowal will work within me. This means that the upper light is being revealed in me, giving me a new perception of life, and with these new eyes, I see the upper world. Of all the brides, of all the desires, after a long clarification, we choose the one that requires nothing but adhesion and wants to base all of its reception only on faith. This is the condition for gaining Malkhut, receiving for the sake of bestowal. This bride seems ugly to our desire to enjoy, low-born, poor, and meager. But precisely when I get nothing for my ego, I can be faithful to the Creator with all my soul. I am ready to die in order to remain faithful to Him. This is the condition for crossing the Muxam. Tubav means choosing Malkhut Shemayim. After the ninth of Av, I had nothing left for myself, everything collapsed, both the first and the second temple. Then the 15th of Av comes when I can base my attitude toward the Creator only on the property of bestowal. Therefore, the 15th of Av is considered the greatest holiday. Thanks to the revelation of the shattering on the 9th of Av, on the 15th of Av I gain the ability to hold on to the Malkhut Shemayim, to choose the right bride, Malkhut. The four brides from whom we choose is our attitude toward the group, the expectation to receive wealth, knowledge, and nobility from it. But in the end, I see that I will get only one thing, through my devotion to them, the achievement of devotion to the Creator. For me, this is the greatest asset. All this seems ugly to my desire to enjoy. I see nothing good in this group and I would be happy to do away with everyone, but this is exactly the form through which, if I accept it, I can reach the Creator. The whole world shows me how it hates me because I am engaged in bestowal and how it would support me if I were as egoistic as everyone else. The world is becoming very harsh in this regard. No one blames me for egoistic reception, but everyone attacks me for the aspiration to bestow. If I change, then I am immediately promised a good life and the return of the three profitable brides, the stages Aleph, Bet, and Gimel. Here, one has to be very straightforward and must not make any compromises. The Creator will confuse me in every possible way. But the condition for crossing the Muxam is to say, I am better off dead than living such a life. Then, I will see how all these mirages dissipate and disappear. A real bride is the one who will be with me provided that I agree to accept her anyway, may she be the ugliest woman in the world. She has neither beauty, nor wealth, nor nobility, nothing attractive. Why do I love her and get close to her? It is because only in this image she brings me to the Creator. I see that the Creator plays with me through all these mirages, seducing me with wealth, intelligence, knowledge, nobility, bribing my ambition. But in the end, I understand that the greatness of the Creator is in His modesty. Therefore, I need to reduce my pride and my requirements and look not for beauty and nobility, intelligence and wealth, but only for the desire to adhere with all my heart, and then I can get married. The period of the 9th of Av is the time of death and destruction. But starting from the 15th of Av and further on, from the joyful day of Tubav on which we chose the correct Malkhut Shemayim, we begin preparations for the Congress, for the connection between us and merging with the Creator already with the correct desire. From the first part of the daily Kabbalah lesson, the 16th of August 2019, writings of Rabash, the 15th of Av, Article 35, 1986. Make the future yourself. Question: are the future states determined in sensations? How do we recognize these feelings? Is it possible to predict the future? Answer: it is easy to predict the future. However, we should have no interest in predicting the future. Instead, we should be creating the future. So what if you recognize a chain of events? Even if they clearly appear before you? What comes next? It will not make your life easier. Moreover, it will even harm you. You have to create the future yourself. That is the problem. Turn a blind eye to the future, if it will be revealed to you, and make it yourself. I think that the more you engage in Kabbalah, the less you will be interested in the future. You will understand that you create it yourself. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, the 28th of April 2019. Michael Leitman, on Quora, what is liberalism? Liberalism, everyone has a place to say what they want, no hatred of anybody, you can speak your mind openly and pluralistically, that is in a way allowing for multiple opinions, we can reach a dialogue, first and foremost, understand each other, and gradually integrate with each other. As a result of such human conduct, we'll develop a greater understanding of human society. However, if the situation continues as it does today, where one side hates the other, then it cannot be considered as liberal or democratic. The side that is calling the other side non-democratic is already a non-democratic side. This form of interest-based politics is dead. I learned it upon myself in the former Soviet Union. They would use pleasant words about brotherly love and unity to cover their killing of the people. It was used only with power motives to cover the social division and hatred, which was the reality of the time. Their high investment in the propaganda of this idea impressed not only its own people, but societies as far as Western Europe. It worked for a while, and then it all collapsed. However, today where we have one side saying that it is liberal and democratic, and absolutely hates the other side, wanting to eliminate it completely, going as far as forcefully protesting against them, what kind of democracy is that? Democracy is that we sort these problems out peacefully and reasonably. Liberalism is when I gather together other people's opinions, wanting to connect everyone together in a social dialogue. New Life Number 20. A New Connection Among Us.
Hello, you're joining us on a series of conversations. We are with Dr. Leitman in the studio. Hello. We came here today to the studio to have a special conversation. Till now we had many conversations on which we actually went over all of our central ideas that we think that any person in the world should know toward the new life that we're entering. On today's conversation, we would like to speak in a special way and create kind of an envelope for this educational show that we have developed here on our previous conversations. We'll try to give a kind of an opening for the whole educational package that we have prepared and some closure for this. So we'll have a kind of a package that whoever starts studying gets into the process. He'll understand where did he come to, what is he doing, and something that can sum up everything. So Dr. Lightman, if you can, if we can enter the situation that we have developed, and I as if am not here, and there is the camera here, but actually you're speaking before the people studying these materials, and maybe we'll begin with a quotation from a personal primary appeal to the person that's about to study these materials. What would you like to tell him? First of all, hello everyone. We're in a very interesting situation. Suddenly, we discover ourselves in a very special state. The truth is that humanity asked itself many times, where are we headed? Where are we developing? What happens next? What do we have to change in order to improve our situation? And this way for hundreds and even thousands of years of our development, we always had the question of how to develop, where to, what's going on, what is actually man's, what does man's nature demand from him? Where is he drawn to? What is he drawn to? And we found ways, and we always got kind of an urge in some direction. The situation today is a special situation. After thousands of years of man's development, we have reached a state where that very force that has developed him, which we call the egoistic force, to live better, to feel better, to know, to understand, to be happy, to be wealthy, to be knowledgeable, famous, well-known, and so on. Suddenly, that force disappeared from us, and we feel ourselves in a kind of a special tiredness, this collective kind of depression, and a general kind of despair, depleting Earth from all of its natural resources, and we don't want to further develop. We are as if in the opposite direction to all that we had in history. We don't want the future. But it's coming towards us, but it's undesirable, and we also don't know what to do about it. And here, when we investigate nature, we discover that all in all, we're in something called the collective crisis, the general crisis. General because it has to do with anything that a person is engaged in on Earth, meaning it's really the global crisis that doesn't specifically have to do something with a specific country or a specific person or a specific society or some kind of a transition from one phase to another, the social structure, or some kind of a special tendency, special attitude, approach to culture, education, science, the social structure, the family. But it has to do with everything. In total, a person has all in all realized all of his forces, all of his abilities, possibilities that he has on the face of this earth, and starts to ask questions about eternity. And who does it touch? Not only philosophers and thinkers, but a person, he's asking, what's going on? As if we have lots of forces. We came to a state where by the push of a button we can destroy life on Earth altogether. We can go to outer space. We can go into the depth of the ocean. But along with it, we've reached a very special state where nature, the climate, everything that's happening around us is controlling us mercilessly. And as if we have lost our direction. It's not that the previous direction was good. It was, but at least it pushed us to develop, and now it doesn't. And besides that, well, suppose we don't develop. Suppose we stay as we are. We can't stay this way either. We see that we as if lose what we have in our hands. The industry that we have developed for the past hundreds of years, in the past centuries, it suddenly comes to a stop. Science is in a crisis, is coming to some kind of an end, is in a dead end. Culture and social life have reached a state where it's not even pleasant to talk about it, the kind of values that we're drawn to, the things that fill our TV screens, the internet, the social networks, the values that we have there, the kind, the sort, the level of it all, what kind of a fulfillment do we get as a result, the media that envelops the world. Meaning in technology, we have reached a state where truly we're capable of everything. But the content which fills up our lives is decreasing ever more. And it's becoming low and despised, entirely not fit for our ability to use these tools. We have reached a great crisis in the family life. People on the one hand feel themselves lonely, but as if they're blind, that they're in the same room, but don't even stumble upon each other. They wander from corner to corner in the same big room without meeting, without the ability to get to know each other, the ability to connect in the right, good, comfortable way for everyone. We can't create families. We don't want to bring children. We're also not sure that life will continue because our nature, our ego, the collective evil, is controlling us. And who knows where does it lead us? Family life, if so, here and there. And we have it, and have the population more or less that can have a good family life and giving birth to the next generation and educating them. They have the ability, but nonetheless they're not satisfied in what they have. We are in an inner crisis, in a big despair. Depression is the number one illness in the world and is the cause for all the rest of the illnesses. We have a constant fear of what will happen and what's going on. It could be as eco blows or egos from man's ego, where he has no control over himself. This is all clear to us, and thousands of scientists in the world, they are discovering these trends, these tendencies, and there's plenty of research about it, which is accepted upon most, or possible to say everyone. It's accepted by everyone, but the definition of the situation itself, which is pretty clarified, it's pretty clear to politologists, sociologists, scientists, psychologists, educators, but along with it, we're helpless with coping, in terms of coping with the situation, meaning there's no solution. There is the general illness, what humanity is sick with, that has plenty of phenomenon, like in a person's body, suppose, which is completely functioning incorrectly, and it's possible to say that there is not even one test that's giving good results, and the entire structure in this system doesn't function correctly. It's not in harmony. It's not in balance with all of the subsystems. But besides the diagnosis that we can determine, which is a man's ego, a man's mind, his envy, his lust, his honor, that actually control us. Besides defining the reason for the situation that we have reached, we can't do anything about it. It's really like a creature that is about to destroy himself, his entire civilization, and can't stop himself, and knows in advance what's going on, but nevertheless is heading towards the slaughter and the end. And the main thing which is unraveled lately is the great big unemployment blow coming as a result of the economical crisis, where really the way we built society, we built it in order to constantly manufacture, make more and more things, and to fill everyone as much as you can. And actually, here too, we're using it for the worst, because we're creating stuff only for people to use them, and for it to go out of order as quickly as possible, for him to buy a new thing so that the manufacturer will become richer on account of this. And now that we have reached the general crisis and there is no longer demand in that society, which we thought that it will be a consuming society, a constantly developed consuming society, when society ceases to consume things, then everything breaks and is in degradation. Factories are going bankrupt, including financial companies, banks, insurance companies, investment companies, funding companies. And so, according to the diagnosis of the experts, that maybe 10% of the population of the world will work in order to provide us with the necessary things for our existence, and there will be no further need for the rest of the people. No further need, meaning there will be no need for their work. And this is how suddenly we feel that plenty of people, millions, hundreds of millions, are, you know, they're set free. And here, there is a method that says that those millions that leave the working market, coming out of the industry, the offices, and become free of the work, they should be engaged in the new kind of work. They have to bring balance with nature. They have to cause us to become balanced with nature. They have to bring the social change, the human change, and we have to then be engaged in building the new human being for the new era toward which we're headed. Where if the entire problem is that in the current state, the whole problem which we discover is our ego, then probably by changing it, by improving it, we'll rise to the next level. Because this is how humanity always develops, actually. It reaches some new state, and it seems good and nice, enlightened, convenient, advanced. That gives us a new kind of life. This is how it was always in any transition from a certain kind of a social structure into a new one. And and now that we reach this new social structure and we live in it for a certain while, we find out that no, it's not that great, but our knowledge grows, the negative states that we feel and so on, and even though that we're developing, but we're developing up to where we reach a state where those negative discernments, they accumulate and reach a state where we can no longer stand it. And then, for lack of any other options, we either have a revolution or a war, or we reach some kind of an understanding or something. But by that, we make some fast change in the point of, in the turning point. And we change and come to new values, a new life philosophy, and this is how we develop on the new phase. And probably this is the same thing which is ahead of us right now, that we came to the negation of the previous state. We see that in the previous state, the whole problem was our ego destroying all of our orders in life. That there is no way that we can continue on with our previous lives. And probably our nature demands a change now. And this is the special thing in our situation right now, in the new state. Because we never changed man's nature. We only crossed on to a new phase of a new degree of development. Like a car with gears. We shifted from from first to second to third, supposed to fifth gear. And when we reached fifth gear and we stepped on it, we stepped on it to the very end. We reach a state where the engine stops working and we can no longer advance with the previous motor. It's no longer, can't do the job anymore, so we have to change the direction, the values, the goal, the fuel, the engine itself. This is actually what's unique about our situation in the new phase toward which we are headed. And in order to change man's nature, to change this egoistic engine that constantly pushed us for more and more to develop and consume and to discover, and it's no longer working, it's no longer pushing us towards something new, then we have to change the force of nature. And in nature, there are two forces. The force of reception, our ego, and the force of bestowal, the giving. These two forces actually create life. And in their combination, to the extent to which their combination is in harmony and the right kind of connection, the right kind of balance between them. In this, we find ourselves in a more tranquil kind of life, in a more advanced kind of life, more correct life. And now we have reached a state where the force of reception, the force of our ego, stops working. Thus, despair, indifference towards everything, the result of which we feel in all currents in life. And here, and it also stems from all the researches and scrutinies made by scientists, research people. What becomes more outstanding, that the solution is to switch the fuel, and if so, also the engine, for it to work on the force of bestowal, the other force, for it to be the great, the higher, the leading, the pushing force, and the force of reception will be secondary to it. That if human society has developed merely from the will to receive to the will to bestow in order to receive, by which we have opened up education, culture, especially commerce and industry, according to the rule of go and provide for each other, that he gives me and I give him and each one of us benefits, meaning that the force of bestowal was more of a means in order to receive more. Now we see that we're moving into a new direction, a new tendency where the force of bestowal will not be as a means, but it will be the precious thing, and the force of reception as a means for it to be to receive in order to bestow, or to bestow in order to bestow. Meaning, instead of earlier being in receiving in order to receive, or bestowing in order to receive, we're reaching a new tendency, a new kind of attitude for us to bestow in order to bestow and to receive in order to bestow. All in all, from these two forces existing in nature, by these two forces we exchange the main and the secondary forces. We switch them, but correspondingly we have to build a new engine that will work in accordance with this force. And the engine is human society. That will have to take care of the change of the individual, meaning in each and every person. And all in all, the society in general, it's not that we have to change industry, science, but we have to change man himself, the relations between us. And then everything will fall into place. And in order to change man, we need to give him, first of all, a new kind of education, new understanding and knowledge of who we are, what are we, how did we develop throughout the tens of thousands of the years previous to our state, and how are we supposed to continue developing? How is the change made? What kind of a change should we make? How will it come? And what kind of a graduality for each one in particular and for all of us? And in his smaller area, on the political level, and in the whole of globally, all over Earth. Besides the knowledge, where we base ourselves on the work of many scientists and researchers in natural sciences and human science, and those that research the nature of man. Besides all this, we have to also develop the educational part. How do we change? By what will we change? How will we reach a state where the force of bestowal will rule us and not the force of reception? The force of bestowal will push us to advance and not the force of reception. How will we make these changes in a person and in society? By what means? By what order? In kids and grown-ups, men, women, and every society, according to their mentality, religion, tradition, and so on. Ahead of us, there's a lot of work. And it's not in vain that millions of people are leaving the ordinary, useless work that we discover now, the hard labor into this new change of human society. Not that we'll leave those 10% to take care of everything that we need, like there are such structures in nature, like ants, suppose, or different flies or bees, that there's a part that works and a part that as multiplying and so on. There are constructors, there are the those that prepare the food for everyone and so on. No, but probably we will divide all the necessary work, all that we need in order to rationally exist between everyone. And all of us will work maybe an hour or two a day, maybe not every day. At all the rest of our free time, the time free of work, free of the essential work, which is necessary in order to sustain human society in a good, nice, rational way, where everyone will get will get what they need in a respectable fashion for their body and for their general existence and so on. All the rest of the time, we'll have to engage in learning, teaching ourselves. And by this, we will reach a new education, new culture, new kind of media that will be filled with new content. The audio, video, music industries, movies, TV, books, newspapers, they will all be filled with materials that will help change man and change society, because this is actually what stands here before us as our obligation today. It's important to change man. For this, we have decided, we started putting together a series of books and other forms of media, virtually, clips, video, movies, different shows for children and for grown-ups, in order to bring a person closer to the change that he will have to undergo. For now, we think that this process that all of us will have to go through will include several phases, parts. The first part is that by the scientists, we explain to the people the state we're in. Because, nonetheless, even though each one of us feels particularly personally that things aren't really getting along and knows a bit about what's going on from the media and the general state we're in, but we still don't get the general picture, the general direction that started a long time ago. From the days of the Club of Rome, that already 60 years ago started talking about the end of the development of the consuming society. And before that, another great scientist, Vernadsky, who talked about it in the 1920s, and more scientists in our times, almost all of them, each one from his perspective, tells us all in all about the general crisis we're in. First of all, we have to give those people that come to study with us, we have to allow them to change society, reach a new life, a new whole perfect life. First of all, we have to explain to them the general picture from what we see in science, from what we see in research, that all of us, that what all of humanity is researching and understands as a result. This is the first part. The second part, it is our connection, connecting between us, which speaks about the general knowledge, which consists of the conversations that I gave you and are set before you now, that speak in general about man's nature, the nature of society, the general direction of things, and why did we reach this special point in our development, where this point is a part of nature's plan from which there is a good new birth into life, into a special life, new life, and not to see the crisis as a kind of a problem, but on the contrary, man's new development in society. A part that comes afterwards, where these two parts, they engaged in the general, in the knowledge part of things. The third part, it's engaged in practice and changing man toward the new life. How to exchange this engine working on the ego into a different kind of fuel coming to us now, and this is why we're coming to a stop and we can no longer work on it. It's as if we're stepping on the gas, but instead of the fuel that's called the will to receive and its fulfillment, the will to receive is the engine, but the fulfillment is the personal, particular pleasure. Instead of that, comes to our engine a pleasure from bestowal. And the engine doesn't influence it, regardless of how much we step on the pedal. And thus we have to exchange the engine, where that very human society, every person and society in general, they all will see the importance, the great value of what we have as a result of developing and bestowal and influencing one another and bestowing on to others, connecting with one another, meaning the opposite direction to which we had in our previous development, where really the transition, it's a complete transition in man's attitude, in his attitude towards himself, towards others, that it's not simple, it's impossible to undergo it yourself, because all in all, the goal is for a person to be connected to everyone. Like now, we see that the global integral system is revealed to us, where all of us are interconnected. And so, also the part of the part of the knowledge speaks about it a lot. But now on the third part, we'll talk about a lot about how do we reach that. How will we bring a person closer to others, for him to be as a part of society, for him to feel himself devoted to society, that society is actually his home, that he is a part of it, and that he kind of disappears in it, where his entire personality disappears and he feels society as himself, as truly himself. This part is the practical part that, of course, we implemented with additional explanations in groups and social activities, where if the first and second parts, it's something that you can study personally, individually, by yourself, the third part, it must take place in groups, in special groups, under the supervision of people, of experts who know how to activate groups. You can undergo it virtually through the internet, preferably to get organized physically in clubs, in youth centers, in different places where there is also the presence of an educator who is qualified to do too. To be the educator. And by this, a person starts undergoing the very first change, his inner change, in becoming an integral part of a new engine instead of the old engine, which we have to exchange. Where all the fuel is the force of bestowal and the engine's working. In all of human society, and the right kind of new, right kind of connection and reciprocal bestowal, it will work according to the force of bestowal. Of course, we too have to show here, have to explain what kind of a dimension are we reaching correspondingly. What are the achievements, the new life, in the particular, in the general way, in the collective way? What kind of senses, new senses, do we discover by each one of us acquiring an integral feeling? The whole of humanity becomes the asset of each and every one. The inheritance of everyone, the estate of everyone, how much greater a person becomes, unlimited, limitless, coming beyond the boundaries of the ego, which is time, space, and motion. He gets a whole and eternal value. These things seem to us maybe today a bit unrealistic, because we're still in the egoistic form of perception of reality, limited perception of reality in the vessels of every person. But if every person connects with the others, then we already have researches and proof from scientists and from psychologists and sociologists, politologists, and so on, that a person is about to acquire a new perception of reality. I'd call it a quantum leap or something like that. That it's beyond substance and our own nature, where all the phenomenon which we discover in quantum physics, in astronomy, in those that really are engaged in the depth of matter, they discover that there is a kind of a border there that we can't break through, but beyond it, there is something, a new reality, a different new kind of life. So beyond that barrier, beyond that boundary, we can break through. We can break through it with our new senses, and we do not part with anything from the past. And all the industry and our whole existence, our family life, social life, it all remains. Only we extend our vessels limitlessly beyond the borders of our individual borders of each and every one of us into limitlessness. Because a person through himself, through the collective society, he becomes a limitless vessel to receive that can... And now we come to this, a person has unlimited capacity. And now the third part, the activities. In these activities, we have the psychological part of things that teaches a person how to connect with society and so on. And of course, there are plenty of materials that explain this in practical processes, plenty of information, material, and so on. And an additional part, I'd say that this is the fourth part, that explains to a person how, after he has some kind of a willingness to connect with social life and balance and connection with everyone else, how does he develop his personal inner vessels, personal new inner vessels, in order to make this quantum leap in his awareness, his consciousness, his impression, inspiration, perception, in that new realm which he discovers beyond the boundaries of the egoistic world, which is his inner work toward the environment and toward that general force which dwells in nature, which governs everything, arranges and plans everything, where from the beginning of creation, from the beginning of our universe and to the end of it, controls and governs us, where before and after the universe is that area, the realm of the force of bestowal. And our universe, it's completely based on the force of reception. And so when we develop through society, through the right kind of connection with others, when we develop our personal force of bestowal, we as if break beyond the boundaries of our world, beyond that point of the Big Bang, from where the universe started developing, and we enter into the depth of matter that also one's will to receive and the will to bestow are under our control, and then we will truly be able to be whole, perfect, eternal, like nature, like this whole nature. So we have to see that this point that we start the change from, this very special point, we have to be very happy that we have reached this special state, that we needn't follow some, we don't have to run after some temporary goals, but now we are truly facing the infinite, eternal realm that's before us. This is why I wish everyone to undergo both the part of the teachings and part of knowledge, and the educational part, and the part of the change successfully, and it all depends on us being correctly organized, or organizing ourselves together as the whole of humanity or as subparts of it, and in the good kind of attitude toward one another, we will start advancing and feeling that very beautiful state which is ahead of us. And from one day to the next, I am sure that we will feel how our life, how special our life is, that what a wondrous change we have reached, and it depends only on us, the pace and the stages, how easily and pleasantly we'll undergo this change, and we will be born, in addition to what we have here, into a new world. I think that these things, they are okay as a kind of a comprehensive introduction. Yes, but not only for your book, but for other things as well. But we'll add it later on. Okay, so this is as a general introduction. Now the question is, do you feel that in the beginning of this thing, maybe even before this introduction, which gives this both comprehensive and also deep and so on picture, maybe we can add to it, you feel in what places, because sometimes I only threw in just one sentence, so maybe to make it smoother. In short, don't save on it. Okay, that person who perceives a sentence here, a sentence there, let's picture him. And maybe besides this introduction, which is very deep and knowledgeable, so imagine it. No, this we have. Now the question is, maybe besides this, you want to make a short personal appeal to the person that will depict for ourselves, that we made all of this for him, to really depict this kind of a person who doesn't have such an exalted kind of a thought like this introduction, which is very comprehensive. Yeah, it's comprehensive, I'm saying. But the question is, do you feel something short, really short, to him, really pointed at the reader, something very personal and simple? If you feel it, okay. If you don't, then. So, also the same, only in restriction, meaning that all of us understand that we are in a new era. Don't speak it to me, but really to the people before you. We all understand that we are in a new era, on the boundary, in a transition, where we still don't understand what's going on here, but it is clear to all of us, both according to the scientific researches and also according to a man's personal feeling, that all of our previous lives are actually, according to the framework, according to those definitions and values, they're coming to an end. And they are in a kind of a very sharp transitional phase, sharp and comprehensive, in terms of all that's happening with a person, including maybe his environment as well, including nature maybe. And here we have reached a special course that you have merited to participate in, that will teach you what are we facing, on the verge of what are we standing, how can we overcome this whole crisis that is coming upon humanity now, and how can we not see it as a crisis, but as a new point of a new life. It's like a person who disconnects from home and creates a new home for himself, a new life. Of course, he has a certain fear, some lack of confidence, but there are rules according to which he can continue his path and to reach the good, nice, new development. This course is intended in order to ease that general transition that we're facing, make life easier, clearer, more friendly, where throughout this course you will learn how to live in a new era. That now we discover that suddenly humanity is entering the new conditions in nature and in human society and in the family and in each one of us, and circles from the broadest circle, which is nature, to the more internal circle, which is society and the country and the family and me, myself, and how I have to organize my life anew, and I have to see the good, nice order that has to bring me to a new, good, nice life, much better than I had before. I'm very happy that you came to this course. We'll work together. Here you'll have all the support from all of our personnel, and together we'll undergo this process. Together we'll work on the changes, feel them, realize them. Here too, in our group, in society, during the teaching, and also at home, and also when you meet with your relatives and those that are further away. I'm really happy that from this point and on, we are coming to know a new, good, happy life. And let's start getting to know each other this way, ourselves this way, and building a new society inside the group that's here before us, or something like that. Excellent. Now one last thing. Very optimistic. Very optimistic, very nice. Everything is very, you know, rising. That from this point and on, you have no problems. You came in here, that's it, forget about everything. You are at our disposal. Everything is at my disposal. Everything is on me. I'm the manager, I'm the father, I'm the educator, I'm everything. You have a problem, you come to me. to relieve them from all pressures, to relieve them from everything. This is the main thing. Don't worry. You have what to eat. Nothing's missing at home. Everything's clear. Everything's sure. You'll see how from this point and on, you'll see that nothing's missing. You're acquiring a completely new world. No. Okay, one last thing that maybe is worthwhile doing. Let's suppose that a person, he went through all of this education that he went through, and he reaches the final point. The final point, you have to give him an end. The end is that after this part, no, not to me, I'm not here, talk to him. He came to the end, he went through all the phases. Okay, so, dear friends, better to say, dear friends, we have finished the first part of our course. Of course, you felt in it different changes in your states and your you have broadened your general perception of everything, of the world, of nature, of human society and yourself. You've studied about family life and all that's going on with us in human society in general. Whoever wants to delve into it, of course, has many sources to add to it. And from this point and on, we'll have to add to this part the next part, which speaks about the development of man himself. So what do we have to do in developing ourselves, in changing ourselves into this new phase? This part, first of all, gives you the general understanding of human nature, of man, free choice, and so on and so forth. For you to better understand what's going on inside a person and from within a person, how does he see the world? Thank you very much, Dr. Lakeman. Thank you. And thank you for being with us. All the best.